just hold on, hold on, through every storm, hold on, even in the darkest night, walk by faith, not sight, hold on. Holding peace like a dove in the midst of all your dark despair, with open arms he is waiting there just to hold you until your hurt is gone. Your hurt is gone. Hold on. In view. Oh, and I don't know how long it's gonna take to climb it, but I've got all my faith, dear Lord, in you. Oh, because I've made up my mind, I'm gonna make it. Oh, I don't care if this valley's deep and wide. Oh, I don't care if this mountain that I'm about to climb reaches all the way up to the sky. Oh, well, here I stand at the foot of this old mountain. Oh, I can't even see the top in view. Oh, no, I don't know how long it's gonna take to climb it, but I've got my faith, dear Lord, in you. Oh, because I made up my mind, I'm gonna make it. Oh, I don't care if this valley's deep and wide. Oh, I don't care if this mountain that I'm about to climb reaches all the way up to the sky. Well, many times I've been blinded by my teardrops. Yes, I've often let my troubles bring me down. Oh, but I am more determined than I've ever been to make it. Oh, I won't let anything stop me now. Oh, because I made up my mind, I'm going to make it. Have you done that tonight? I don't care if this valley's deep and wide. Oh, I don't care if this mountain that I'm about to climb reaches all the way up to the sky.
How about it, young people?
Well, many times I've been blinded by my teardrops. Oh, I've often let my troubles bring me down. Here's your part. Oh, but I am more determined than I've ever been to make it. Oh, I won't let anything stop me now. Oh, because I've made up my mind, I'm gonna make it. Oh, I don't care if this valley's deep and wide. Oh, I don't care if this mountain that I'm about to climb reaches all the way up to the sky.
Worship him tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you made up your mind you're going to make it? Hallelujah. We are going to make it. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful presence of the Lord today in the service this morning. I don't even know how to describe what I felt. I just felt something just turn over in my spirit this morning that the Lord is going to do some amazing things at Union Road. And I'm believing that the best is yet to come. And I am excited for what He's going to do. And I'm believing the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. I just want to say, first off, I'm going to get some preliminaries out of the way. I got something on my heart I want to preach to you tonight. But I just want to say it is so good to see each and every one of you. I'm glad to be home. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you and some new faces. And it's wonderful to see what the Lord is doing and what He's going to do. And thank you for the offering. We appreciate that. It's good to be in Ohio. And there was snow. I mean, what more could a guy want? I mean, down in Texas, so you need to pray for me. I know you do, but down there in Texas. Actually, today, they got a little bit of flurries today, and they think the world's coming to an end. I mean, our church closed service tonight because they don't know how to function. And so it's just good to be in Ohio, to breathe the fresh air, and just be home. Amen. So good to see each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 21. The choir sang part of my text tonight, so you'll know it. Psalms, chapter number 21. If you'll stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, I'd appreciate it. Psalms, chapter number 121. Psalms 121. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Psalms 121, starting in verse 1, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's not long. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and God, how that it is inspired, Lord, and how that it'll speak to our hearts and our lives right where we're at, God. And I'm believing you to speak to your people, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart, God, to speak, Lord. Don't let me speak just about you, Lord, but to speak for you, to say what you would have to say, nothing more, nothing less, God. And most importantly, Lord, oh God, when we get to this altar, Lord, that you would do a work for eternity, any more than my words can do. More than anything, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, that your spirit would be moving in this altar, Lord, as we come to it. We're believing you. We thank you for it. And we said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see a wonderful crowd here tonight. Amen. I want to preach to you a few minutes, the Lord being my helper, on nothing. There it is. I want to preach to you on discouragement. Destroy, discouragement, destroy. We are living in a day and an age where it doesn't take rocket scientists. You don't have to have a PhD to understand that we are living in a day where discouragement is all around us. I mean, and many times the enemy will make us think we're the only ones discouraged, we're the only ones going through the battle, we're the only ones facing it. But discouragement is something that everyone faces, and that we as a body, we as Christians, we face in this last day and hour that we're living in. As Pastor Hurst preached this morning, talking about how that the devil, he knows he has just a few short days to work, and because he knows that he doesn't have long to work, he has ramped up his intensity on the church. He is attacking the church, and one of the ways that he loves to do it in this day and hour is discouragement. Discouragement. And I want to talk to you, preach to you a few minutes tonight on discouragement. There's some things you got to understand first of all about discouragement. First of all, discouragement is universal. You know, it don't matter who you are. If you're honest, you've got discouraged. How many of you ever got discouraged before? Let me see your hand. Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you either don't have a pulse or you're a liar. And we can change the sermon to that later, okay? We can have that as the altar call. But we all face discouragement from Pastor Hurst, Pastor Brian, every single one. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 50 years or you've been saved 50 minutes. You face discouragement in the body of Christ. We all face, so it's universal. And sometimes the enemy will make us think, well, so-and-so's not discouraged and nobody else is discouraged. I'm the only one. What's wrong with me? Why am I facing this discouragement? But discouragement is universal. It's also reoccurring. You know, discouragement is reoccurring. It'd be nice if discouragement was like the chicken pox. You got it once and you never had to worry about it again. I mean, that would be awesome. How many of you had chicken pox when you were a kid or something? Yeah, a lot of you. I mean, it's very, very rare that a person gets chicken pox twice. Once you get the chicken pox, you don't ever have to worry about the chicken pox ever again. And it's an awesome thing. But the truth of the matter is that discouragement is not like that. I mean, just because I've been discouraged before, I'll tell you, I'm going to get discouraged again. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you're going to get discouraged again. It's reoccurring. It's something that we face all the way until we make it to heaven. It's universal. It's reoccurring. And it's also highly contagious. You ever been around somebody who was discouraged? Don't look. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look around. I mean, you ever been around somebody who, I mean, they had the Eeyore complex. I mean, everything was wrong. Everything was going bad. Nothing was ever good. I mean, there was clouds. It was rainy. Everything was bad in their life. I mean, if you hang around that person long enough, you'll get discouraged yourself. And so we got to understand that as the body of believers that we must encourage one another. Because how many of you know that encouragement is contagious as well? You hang around somebody who's encouraged, who their spirit's uplifted, who's God's helping. You hang around that person long enough and pretty soon you'll begin to worship. Pretty soon you'll begin to see, yes, I can make it through. I will make it through this thing. There was a man, he was a civilian. And he was walking up the lines of battle, and these two armies were getting ready to fight. And this civilian was standing, going up and down the aisles of the army and saying, "You're not going to win. You're going to be defeated. You're all going to die today. This is pointless. You shouldn't go out there." And the king went out there, took that man, and threw him in jail. Because he understood the power of discouragement. If he got his men discouraged, they wouldn't want to go out and fight. They wouldn't want to try to win the battle. And that's why the enemy attacks the people of God with discouragement in this day and age. Because he knows that if you did go out and fight, if you did keep on going, that there would be great victory ahead. If you gave up, he knows that would never happen. So he tries to discourage you. It's contagious. It's universal. It's reoccurring. It's contagious. And it's also unpredictable. I mean, you ever been just having a great day, and then all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere, something hits you, I mean, you can just be driving down the road, and somebody just cuts you off, you know, or something happened, you know, at work, all of a sudden, I mean, everything was going good, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you got discouraged, something happened, you got that phone call, you got that email, you got that situation that happened, and it's unpredictable. You never know when discouragement's going to strike. So it's universal, it's reoccurring, it's contagious, it's unpredictable. But discouragement is always temporary. By the help and the grace of God, it's always temporary. I mean, you've been discouraged before, and God has brought you through that discouragement. I said there's been times in your life when you felt discouragement before, and God has brought you through that. So I want to remind you tonight that God's going to bring you through this discouraging time, that God's going to uplift you again, because it is only temporary. Weeping may endure for the night, the Bible says, but joy cometh in the morning. It's going to be there. There's going to be weeping, but there's joy that's going to come. That word endureth, it means to stay or to lodge there. It's kind of like when you go to a hotel. You stay there. You lodge there. But it's not your home. It's not where you live. It's just a temporary dwelling place. And weeping, it does. We visit the hotel of weeping sometimes. We visit the hotel of discouragement from time to time. But it's not where we live. It's not our home. That's not where we're going. Because we're going somewhere where there is no discouragement. There is no devil. There is no thing but hope and joy and peace. You know, the results of discouragement are always magnified. When you get discouraged, things get magnified in your life. You see, Abraham got discouraged. And he got in a hurry and tried to do God's will his way. You remember the story? Huh? Ishmael was born because Abraham got discouraged about what God had said. The 10 spies, they got discouraged. And Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years. Saul got discouraged waiting on the man of God, and he sinned and lost the kingdom. Elijah gets discouraged and he goes into a cave and says, God, just kill me. Just end this whole thing. It's over for me. Peter gets discouraged and denies Christ. Thomas gets discouraged and he misses out on seeing God. I mean, the results of discouragement are always magnified. Mom, when you get discouraged and you don't allow the Lord to encourage you and to strengthen you, it's not just affecting you, but it's affecting Dad and the kids. Grandma, Grandpa, when you get discouraged and don't allow the refreshing and the renewing of the Spirit of God in your life, it affects your whole family. It's not a sin to get discouraged, but when we get discouraged, we must take these things to the Lord. We must take these things to the Lord. I want you to notice in our text here tonight, the Bible says 5 different times he says these 2 words. He says, the Lord. 5 times in these few short verses, he says, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The psalmist is trying to get us to see, to look to the Lord. He's trying to get our eyes off the situation. He's trying to get our eyes upon the Lord. He's trying to focus on what is most important. It's the Lord. So I want you to look at these few things here with me. 3 things here about discouragement destroyed. First thing I want you to notice is that looking up destroys discouragement. Looking up. Look at verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help, it cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, my help in discouraging time, it doesn't come from my money, it doesn't come from my possessions, it doesn't come from my job or from my strength, and it certainly doesn't come from the White House or any government. It comes, the Bible says, it comes from the Lord. That is where my help cometh from. When I get discouraged, the first thing I need to do is I need to look up. I need to see that he is high and lifted up. I need to see that he is the one that is able to help me. You ever notice that when we walk, a lot of times we walk like this? We do that. You ever seen somebody walk down the street like this? If you saw somebody do that, you'd be like, what in the world is wrong with them? They got a few screws loose, right? I mean, and everybody start looking like, what are they looking at, right? Because in our natural, it's not normal to look up. It's normal to look down. And the same is true spiritually. It's in our flesh, naturally, it's normal to look down and look around us and see all the things that we're going through, because the things that we're facing are real. I'm not making light of our discouragement. I'm not making light of the hard things that we face, because we do face a lot of hard things. But it is unnatural when a child of God begins to look up and see that there is one that is sitting upon the throne, and in spite of all the things that are going on around me, and in spite of the situations and the problems, I'm choosing to look up. I mean, that person who's going through horrible things, and yet in the house of God, lifting their hands and lifting their heart, lifting their heads to God. It's not natural, but it's God. I said it's not natural, but it's God. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we get our eyes off of the things around us and we get our eyes on Christ, it'll help with discouragement. Isaiah chapter 6, you know the story. Isaiah's there, and the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see, the Bible tells us that King Uzziah had died. King Uzziah, he wasn't a perfect king, but he was a good king. He tried to do what was right. He tried to lead the people of Israel in the right way. And for 55 long years, King Uzziah reigned over Israel. And now he is dead. and things have changed. The atmosphere in Israel is unstable. We're not sure what's going to happen. We don't know if the next king is going to be good or going to be bad. I mean, it seems like one king is good, the next bad. One king good, next king bad. I mean, it's just like a revolving door. And so we don't know what Isaiah doesn't know what the next king is going to be like. Will Israel continue to follow God or will they turn back? What will happen to them? It was a day of uncertainty. How many know we live in a day of uncertainty? I mean, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we may face even in our country in the next week. We don't know what we may face in this life. But there's one thing that we do know. We know that God is in control. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but the song says, I know who holds tomorrow. Psalm 61 says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. To the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Are you discouraged? Look up and see how great and mighty our God is. Are you in despair? Look up. Look up to the God of galaxies, for he is with you. Look up to the creator of constellations, for he is in you. Look up to the author of all things, for he is with you. I said, look up unto Jesus. Looking up in discouraging days. Nextly, I want you to notice we need to look back. Destroying discouragement. Look at verse number 3. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber nor sleep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. You see, if we will allow ourselves to, it's easy for us to look back and think about all the bad things. I mean, we often remember the things that are bad in the past, and we forget the good things. Well, that was better than you shouted on, huh? I said, we forget the things that we ought to remember in the past, and we remember those things that we should forget about the past. The Bible tells us in Samuel 12, it says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. Think about all the things that God has done. That's what the psalmist is doing here. He's remembering how times when he should have slipped and fallen, many times where he should have fallen on his back, so to speak, but God kept him, God sustained him. And the Bible says in verse 5, the Bible says, the Lord is thy keeper. Now when I read that, that got in my soul, and I don't know if you need to underline that. You need to remember those words. The Lord is thy keeper. He's the keeper of my future. He's the keeper of my past. He's the keeper of my hopes and the keeper of my dreams. He's the keeper of my salvation and the keeper of my soul. He's the keeper of my family. He's the keeper of my faith. He's the keeper of my heart. He's the keeper of my hope. The Lord is my keeper. He keeps me in dark times. He keeps me in desperate times. He keeps me in weary times, and he keeps me in weak times. He keeps me in fearful times. He keeps me in forsaken times. He keeps me in hard times. He keeps me in hurtful times. He keeps me in dangerous times, and he keeps me in discouraged times. No matter what I'm facing, he is my keeper. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but one thing I know for sure, that the Lord is keeping you. He's with you every single what day of the hour that you live. The Bible says, for thou art with me. He's your keeper. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't put you on the shelf somewhere to collect dust. But he's with you, and he's holding you, and he's molding you as the potter does the clay. He hasn't forgotten about you. The Bible tells us in Zechariah, he says, I will not forget thee. But the wording there, the Hebrew, is a little bit stronger. It's not just that he will not, but it's that he cannot. The Bible's telling us that he cannot forget us. Just like a mother could never forget her child, God will never forget you. And he hasn't left you. And he is your keeper. When I look back at all God has done for me, that which would discourage me becomes just another opportunity for God to keep me. I said it becomes another opportunity for God to keep me. God, I don't know how you're going to keep me through this. I mean, I don't understand how you're going to keep me. It's going to have to be you. But somehow, some way, I know that you are. And so even though I don't know how you're going to do it, it makes me rejoice and excited because I don't know, God, but I know that you are going to keep me. You know, we're a blessed people. Tell your neighbor, I'm blessed. Some of you didn't do it. Tell them I'm blessed. Ephesians calls these unsearchable riches. We are blessed. When I begin to think back at all that my God has done for me, when I think of how that, you know, we were born in a home, you know, my mom and dad weren't saved when I was born. And if you would have looked at me in that crib in Cincinnati, Ohio on January 13th, 1987, and you looked at that crib and said, that young baby there, that is going to be a preacher. That's going to be a man of God. They'd have laughed at you and said, no way. But because my God is good, not because of me, not because of anything that I've done, but because he's good. And if some people would have looked at you and said you'd be in the house of God on a Sunday night in November, they'd have said, no way, it's not possible. All the things they've been through, there's no way they'd still be serving God. But we're here tonight, and it's proof and it's evidence that God is with us, and he's kept us, and we're gonna make it. You know, if the enemy could have destroyed you, he already would have. Huh? If the enemy could have destroyed you, he already would have. And the fact that you're here tonight means that the enemy hasn't had his way, that God has had his way. He's brought you to this point because he loves you and he's kept you. These blessings are so great. No explorer could ever discover them all. No scientist could ever measure them all. No mathematician could ever count them all. No professor could ever explain them all. For the blessings of the Lord are rich, addeth no sorrow. I love Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, remember where he's brought you from. Look back in those discouraging times. When you're discouraged, you feel overwhelmed, you don't know what to look back and think how God has kept you, how God has ministered and helped you when nothing else would. There's a lot of things that are not like I'd like them to be. Can I get an amen? A lot of things in life, they're not like I'd like them to be. You know, I could allow myself to get discouraged over them and turn back and quit. But I'm not looking for a reason to quit. I'm looking for a reason to keep on going. I said, I'm not looking for a reason to quit. I'm looking for a reason to keep on going. And I found that my God is faithful. And if I hold onto his hand, he'll hold onto mine. And if I'll keep on going, if I'll look to him, and if I'll look back and see all that he's done for me, I'll know that he is with me and he will take me all the way. Not only can I look back behind me at all that God has brought me through, but I can look back and see that all that God has brought others from. You know, there's so many testimonies in this building that if we had the time, I mean, we forgot most of them. If we take the time to remember what God has done. Just now, one came to my mind, Jason. Remember when you were in that accident and you almost died? I mean, when God came through, and Jason probably shouldn't be here tonight, but there are benefits that God has ministered and moved. And I could list a thousand more that God has done and ministered in our lives and helped us as a church. He's helped us. Stories in the Bible help us. You know, Abraham would say, you know what, I know what it's like to pray and get discouraged because you don't get the answer. For 25 long years he prays, hears nothing, no answer comes. Huh? Noah would say, I know what it's like to preach and no one listen, no one care, no one move. Job would say, I know what it's like to lose literally everything. I know what it's like to be discouraged. Joseph would say, I know what it's like to be done wrong and been accused falsely. but I still made it. Samson would say, I know what it's like to mess up and feel like I was a failure and couldn't go on. But how many of you know that God is a God of mercy and a God of grace? And if I look back and think of all the times that he's helped me, I can't help but begin to feel a little encouragement in my soul. Kind of, I can't help but think that's kind of what David did when the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know if he got his harp out and started singing a song or what he did, but he began to think about all that God had done for him. That's what most of the Psalms are. He goes through problems that he's facing, and then he ends it by saying, but God, you brought me out. But God, you've helped me. But God, you've been there for me. And he remembered what God had done for him. Discouraging times, we need to look up. We need to look back. But also, lastly, tonight, we need to look ahead. Looking ahead destroys discouragement. Now, Pastor Hurst preached this all up and down this morning, and it was a wonderful message about looking ahead and seeing what God is going to do. Verse 6 says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In other words, all my future is in my God's hand. Everything that I may ever face from this time forth, even forevermore, I know that he is with me. Paul understood this principle. He said, I forget some of those things that are behind me. And I reaching forth to those things that are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do, Paul's saying. Luke 21 tells us, says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come, he says, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking here about end time events. He says, when you see all these things come to pass, you need to look up, you need to look ahead, because there's things that are about to take place that have never taken place before. There's things that are about to happen that have never happened before. Your redemption is drawing nigh. That day that all other days were made for, when we see our Savior face to face, it's about to happen. I believe that the best is yet to come. I believe the best is yet to come for Union Road. Union Road's glory days aren't in the past. I'm going to say it again. I said Union Road's glory days are not in the past. I believe that the best days of Union Road are yet to come. I believe the best days of Camp Dove are yet to come, Brother Maggard. I believe the best days of kids ministry are yet to come. I believe that the best days, Brother Brian, of the youth are yet to come. We haven't seen the best yet. There's more that God wants to have for Union Road. If we'll look up and we'll look back, and then we'll get our eyes ahead of us and we'll say there's more yet that we have got to attain. We haven't reached it yet. We haven't reached it yet. The best is yet to come. Tell your neighbor the best is yet to come. Some of you didn't do it like you believed it. Tell them like you believe it. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Amy, darling, you come help me. I'm just about done. Ryan, will you help me out? Can I pick on you? Thank you. I like standing up here. I'm taller than you. I'm still taller than you. I'm not going to step down because I know what'll happen. I went to, my wife got me for my birthday last year. She got me tickets to see the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit in Dallas. And I loved it. It was awesome. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me through that I saw was, you know, I had seen those parchments, fragments on the internet before and different things, studying it, and they look pretty big on the internet. When I got there in person, I saw most of them were about the size of your thumbnail. And I looked at that little itty-bitty thing, and I said, what in the world? I mean, how do you read that? How do you see that? But there was thousands of them there. These different parchments and things. This is what the Lord spoke to me through this. This is going to be our parchment, okay? It's not in Greek. So you don't have to worry. Hebrew. Sorry. Read this for me.
Read it out loud so everybody He does not bestow a new or different revelation, but rather opens the minds of men to see the deeper meaning of Christ's life and words, as the Son did not speak of himself, but spoke.
Ryan, can you tell me what this chapter is about?
Just from that, not really.
Can you tell me anything else about it? No? Okay. You know, thank you, Ryan. That was all I needed. Can you tell me what this book is about? No. Can you tell me what the chapter's about? Couldn't tell you. What about the page? I really couldn't tell you what's going on at all. I have no idea. In fact, the only thing I can really tell you, it's on page 172. That's all I know. I don't know who the author is. I don't know anything about this book. All I got is a fragment. Just a little fragment. You know, and sometimes that's how our lives are. All we see is through that glass darkly, and all we see is just this fragment in front of us, and we're like, God, I don't understand what this means. God, what are you trying to say to me? It doesn't make sense. I mean, what are you saying here? And we read it, and we reread it, and we read it so many times that it just gets aggravating. We're saying, God, what are you trying to say to me? I don't understand. But what we forget so many times is that God is the author, and we know the author, and we know the finisher of our faith, and I may not understand what this fragment in my life means. I don't know, but I know that my God knows, and I know that He is writing the story of my life, and that when it's finished, I'm going to come through, as the Bible says, as pure gold. I'm going to make it through this trial. I don't understand what it means. I don't understand why I'm going through it, but one thing I know is that my God is writing my story. You may be in a place tonight. You don't understand. You don't know. If I'm real honest, I'm there tonight. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that my God knows. I said, one thing I do know is that my God knows. And He knows where you're at. He hasn't forgotten you. Job's there. Job 23. And he says, I'm looking for God. He said, I looked to my left and to my right. I looked behind me. I looked in front of me. And I couldn't find God anywhere. Then Job says, but He knoweth the way that I take. But when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. In other words, Job's saying, God, I don't know where you're at, but I'm glad you know where I'm at. I don't know where you're at, God, but I'm glad you know right where you know the way that I take. You know where I'm at. Stand with me all over the house right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've done my best to deliver your word, God. I've done my best to speak what you would have me to speak, God. And right now, God, as we get ready to come to this altar, Lord, solidify it in our hearts and our lives. Move for your glory, for your praise. Here's what I'd like you to do right now. All that are physically able, if you're physically able, I'd like you to come into this altar right now. Just step out right now. I'd like you just to stand and begin to worship God and begin to praise Him in the midst of the discouragement, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the pain. Just lift your hands. Stand. Come all that will, if you will. Come in here into these altars and just begin to lift your hands and worship Him. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. Just praise Him a little while. God, I love you. I worship you. I praise you, God, for your goodness towards me. God, I need you. God, I've got to have you. I'm depending upon you right now. Oh, I'm looking to you. I'm looking up. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just begin to call upon the Lord. Yes, Lord.
Our life sustainer,
hallelujah.
Deliverer, you're our comfort, our joy, and throughout the ages,
yes, the Lord's helping right
you've
now.
You've been our shelter,
let the Lord help you.
Our peace,
oh, God,
in
you
the
that
midst
you know.
Of the storm.
Thank you, Lord, that you know.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we
no one
will
else
remember.
Knows but you.
We will remember. you God. Praise, you know. Oh, for great is thy faithfulness.
Let your voice worship him.
With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. And with precious blood, oh, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper.
We're gonna make it.
Our liberator. The giver of life with no end. And we will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. Life's darkest valleys, we will look back, oh, at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, oh, and he is the faithful one. And I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me. Oh, and I've never been the same.
That person next to you, just begin to pray with them right now. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're going through. Just wrap your arm around that person remember. Next to you and just begin to agree with them.
We
pray with them right now, that person next to you.
The works of your hands. And we will stop and give you praise. For great is thy faithfulness. I still remember the day you saved me, and the day I